All right, so everyone ready? So we'll do. No, she wants to stand. Thanks for asking. So this is Doña Rosa. She's the going to tell you the story behind the Ecolodge here, which also goes back to the Sustainable Development Association of this community. Se menciona la famosa. Padre, no tengo que decir mucho, ¿verdad?
Bueno, adelante. Buenos días. Un gusto tenerles con nosotros. Él va a traducir, así es que espero no hablar muy rápido porque me disparo y él dice, pare, pare.
Yeah, so welcome, and yeah, I'm going to translate, obviously, but she's going to try to keep her comments short so that I can remember to do the translating.
Mi nombre es Rosa Bonilla, y soy la mamá de una familia de 7 miembros.
So her name is Rosa Bonilla, and she's the mother of 7 miembros de la familia.
7 miembros, sí.
7 members of the family. She's the mother.
5 hijos y mi esposo y yo. Entramos aquí cuando en 1984.
1994 is when they started the project here, and she said they have 5 children, so that's why there's 7, you know, with her and her husband.
Mi esposo, yo, mi hijo de 3 años, mi segundo hijo de 2 años, y yo embarazada 3 meses.
Entonces me trajo el pájaro, el menor.
Yo el mayor de 3, Juan Esteban. El segundo de 2 años y yo embarazada de 3 meses.
So one of her sons was 3 at the time, in 1994. Another one was 2, and she was pregnant with her 3rd child at that time, in 94, when they started this project.
Eso va a ser 40 años el otro año. 2024, 40 años.
40 años.
40 años, sí.
So they're coming up on 40 years that they've had this project going.
Vinimos como fundadores de esta área de la fortuna, 58 familias.
So, their family and total and a bunch of others. There was a total of 58 families that were the founders of this, like, settled this area.
Era una hacienda ganadera grande. Se llamaba Hacienda Ganadera Z13.
Yeah, so it was, the community at the time was cattle ranching. That's what they had. And the community is called Z13, which is like Z13.
Y pues ese es el nombre de la comunidad, un nombre extraño en Costa Rica. Creo que es como único, pero heredamos ese nombre de esa hacienda vieja.
Yeah, so the community just kept the name, you know, from that hacienda that it was at the time, the cattle ranching.
Y ese Z13 era el fierro con el que se marcaban los ganados, las vacas. Y era una forma de identificar los animales de la hacienda.
Yeah, so that was the mark of the area, like the, all the cattle in this area, you know, the, what do you call it, branding, you know, and they put that's what it would be, Z13.
Así es que esa hacienda se dividió en 58 pequeñas fincas. Y nosotros éramos uno de esos que vinimos.
So when the whole area was divided up into the 58 families that were here, and they that's how their family got this piece of land.
No habían árboles, todo era puro potrero porque era de ganadería.
Yeah, so at that time there was no trees whatsoever because it was just grassland because it was used for, like you saw yesterday when we saw it, that's what it looked like when, because the cattle, you know, graze and keep it.
No habían caminos, solo de caminos. El principal transporte era el caballo, y los caminos eran con de tierra con muchos huecos por los caballos.
Yeah, so were there no roads at the time? It was just kind of a dirt track, and the horse was the primary transport at the time in this area.
No había electricidad ni agua potable.
Yeah, there was no electricity and there was no drinking water either. None of that.
Así es que todos los vecinos nos encontrábamos siempre en los ríos, lavando la ropa, bañándonos y trayendo agua para la casa.
Yeah, so neighbors, you'd meet your neighbors at the river when you're collecting water for, you know, for your home and washing your clothes and such.
Nosotros teníamos la gran virtud, ventaja, que al frente queda la naciente de agua potable que va para la fortuna y los pueblos ahí aledaños.
Yeah, here they have the advantage that the water collection facility, you know, we've been talking about it, like local community, theirs is, for this community, is right in front of them here. So they have water close by.
Así es que ahí era nuestra fuente de agua potable. Y para la electricidad era solo con candelas o con campineras.
Yeah, so I mean, they had water close by, so that was easy. And then for light, they didn't have electricity. So it was either with candles or the those, what do you call them? The old school kerosene lantern things, you know?
Así es que muy temprano, a las seis y media de la tarde, ya estábamos durmiendo.
So when it got dark at 6 o'clock in the evening, they were already, you know, ready for bed.
Y muy temprano también levantados.
Yeah. And getting up early, obviously, with the sun.
Son cosas que ya cambiaron en nosotros.
Yeah. Which is not the case anymore. Now it's changed, right?
Así es que empezamos con toda una gran alegría de romper todo este terreno para sembrar, porque todos veníamos como agricultores.
¿Cuál fue la primera parte? Distraje,
que veníamos, que empezamos con mucha alegría a romper la tierra para cultivar.
Yeah, so they arrived with a lot of, they're very motivated, right? And to break the earth and cultivate, right? Start planting.
Y pues una gran alegría, no veíamos las dificultades, sino alegría de tener nuestra propia tierra para cultivar.
Yeah, so they were excited to have their own land to be able to grow things for themselves.
En el caso mío y de mi esposo, nuestros antepasados eran agricultores.
So in their case, their family, her and her husband, were farmers.
Y mis abuelitos eran agricultores donde no conocieron los agroquímicos.
And in their days, en los viejos tiempos, they were not accustomed to using any pesticides or, you know, fertilizers, that kind of stuff.
Ellos tampoco tuvieron refrigeradoras ni nada de eso, pero siempre tenían la carne ahumada para la olla de carne de la tarde con sus verduras.
Yeah, so they estás hablando de, no de ustedes, sino la...
No, de mis abuelos.
Ah, okay. She's talking about her grandparents. So there was no refrigerator or any of that kind of stuff at the time. It was more like fresh, and they always had meat in the stew, basically.
Eso era una cultura que nosotros vivimos cuando éramos niños.
So that's the culture that they were raised with. They were, because they're, you know, they're
Así es que está en la sangre nuestra, esa parte de comunión con la tierra y cultivar y sembrar y relacionarnos con todo lo que es la naturaleza.
Yeah, so that's how they grew up, and that's what their culture was, of course, growing up basically independent and in close contact with nature.
Ya mis papás conocieron poco a poco lo que eran los agroquímicos, y ellos se llamaron venenos.
Yeah, so she was talking about her grandparents' generation, and then by the time her parents' generation, then that's when chemicals like pesticides and fertilizers and all that stuff started becoming common.
Ellos, como les llamaban venenos, tenían respeto a eso.
So, in the term they used for them was venom. Like in Espanol, veneno is venom, right? So that's the term they used for all those products.
Pero en la generación mía, ya esos no eran tan venenos, sino que los empezamos a manipular entre más, mejor. Una bomba, entre más químicos pongamos, va a resultar más efectivo, y se nos fue el miedo a esos venenos.
Yeah, so in the beginning when she said that, you know, when it was called venom, there was like a fear of it, you know, like you don't overdo. And then over time it became, you know, the more the better. So it became used and everybody lost their fear of it and started using it more.
Así es que toda esta generación que entró a este pueblo, veníamos con una mentalidad de hacer agricultura y con todos los paquetes de habidos y por haber para que fuera una agricultura buena, no importando la parte del ambiente.
Yeah, so when this whole area was settled, now it was the basically the culture of now using a lot of pesticides, right?
Y al no importar el ambiente, tampoco importaban las aguas. O sea, no había conciencia, no había despertado en nosotros cuán responsables somos por los recursos que tenemos.
Yeah, so in that mentality, they weren't thinking about the environment, right? The impact on the environment. ¿Qué más?
Bueno, entonces, deseo decirles en inglés, pero no puedo.
She'd like to tell you the story in English, but she can't. She doesn't speak English.
Entonces, pues en ese proceso, mi esposo empezó a recibir un curso de, el gobierno tiene una institución que se llama el INAH, y nos daban cursos a todos los que estábamos aquí sobre manejo de agroquímicos.
Yeah, so her husband took there's a national training agency, really it's government agency, that makes it, you know, a little more reasonably access in the, throughout the country and the cost and everything. And so her husband got training on basically how to capacitación fue, sí, como para
una agricultura con agroquímicos,
para usarlos,
sí,
o para
usarlos.
Yeah, yeah, how to use the chemicals, agrochemicals. He had training on how to use it.
El instructor fue tan bueno que le explicó claramente cada agroquímico que estábamos usando, lo que perjudicaba a nuestro cuerpo, a nuestra salud y al ambiente.
So in the training he learned that each chemical, right, that's used for agriculture traditionally is also damaging to the human body, right? Like each one had a different impact.
Entonces, al final del curso, mi esposo dijo, no más químicos, guardo todo esto, sale de mi casa, no quiero más eso.
Yeah. And also, not on the body, but also on the environment. I missed that part. But she saw, when her husband came back from the training, he's like, you know, with that knowledge, he decided, that's it. We're not going to use, put all the toxic stuff away, and we're going to do it organic.
Así es que la última siembra que tuvimos aquí con agroquímicos fue una producción de cacao.
So the very last time that they used those chemicals was way back when they were growing cacao, which is what's used for chocolate, you know what I mean, the base for chocolate.
Eso es acerca de 30 años.
So about 30 years ago.
Entonces el cacao era para una institución regional que comercializaba el cacao con Japón.
Yeah, so there was a company, a Japanese company they were working with that basically used it, you know, what do you call it? Processed it. Took it and processed it to make chocolate.
Y lo exportaba a Japón.
Okay, yeah, it was exported to Japan.
Uh-huh. Así es que estuvimos en ese trabajo y todavía quedan algunos árboles de esa época que permitió que nosotros a la par del cacao como sombra pusiéramos árboles nativos de madera.
So se me fue una parte ahí.
Que necesitamos su energía para usted.
Sí. So there's still some trees around, the cacao trees, but they're kind of spread out. Obviously, they're not, you know, that's not their focus anymore, but there are still some around. ¿Y la otra parte?
Sí.
They recorded that. What did he say? Did he, if I forget something in between and somebody else hears it in Espanol, throw baby. No? Okay. Todos están medio dormidos.
Están durmiendo. Are you sleeping?
No.
No. Él.
Solo.
Sí. Él. Entonces, amados, cuando empezamos a poner árboles de sombra que eran de madera de la región, empezó un proceso en la naturaleza a regenerarse.
¿La idea fue sembrar de la madera o sembrar para reforestar?
No, sembrar para sombra del cacao.
Ah, okay, okay. Yeah, okay, now I get it. So they started planting the trees for the shade for the cacao growing.
Y poco a poco se fue regenerando lo que ahora tenemos, porque los pájaros empezaron a venir mamíferos, empezaron a venir especies diferentes, y ellos traían semillas.
Eso fue hace como 30 años. So.
Sí, el proceso de 30 años.
So like imagine, 30 years ago, like she said, it was that way, and then since then, they've been reforesting, and initially the motivation was for shade for the cacao, and then it happened with like mammals and different species started coming in now that they had they had the trees, the forest regenerating, so they started getting more wildlife back.
La producción del cacao se terminó porque tuvimos un problema en la semilla para esta zona. Y ya había que decidir cortar el cacao y producir algo más, o irnos de aquí, o vender la tierra. ¿Qué hacemos?
¿Fue un problema de un hongo?
Sí, la semilla no era apta porque aquí hay mucha lluvia.
Sí. Yeah, so they started having the cacao wasn't doing well, and so they had to figure out what else to do. Basically, the cacao was not the best, this isn't the best climate for it. Right? It's too rainy, I guess.
Y so, eso era nuestra economía, era lo de lo que dependíamos para vivir.
Right. So I mean, that's how they survived, right? That was their business. And so when that started not being feasible, they had to figure out what to do. It was either cut all the cacao or leave, you know, go move somewhere else. They had to figure out how to survive.
Estando en esa situación, todo esta región. Nosotros decidimos quedarnos con la tierra y buscar alternativas para sobrevivir.
So they decided to stay with the land and try to figure out how they could survive here, what else they could do as a way to survive.
Y así es como entramos a formar una asociación de vecinos para trabajar un proyecto de sostenibilidad y buscar alternativas diferentes.
So what they did was got together and formed an association in this community. Eso fue formando la asociación.
Sí. Sí. Ya.
Sí, sí,
decir.
Sí. Creo que sí.
Entonces, con esa asociación tuvimos el apoyo del área de conservación Arenal, que nos ayudó para traer información sobre proyectos sostenibles.
Yes, so the association was, that was the word I skipped my mind. The idea was sustainable. ¿Cómo se llama la asociación?
Asociación Pro Ambiente y Desarrollo Sostenible.
So the official name is Asociación Pro Ambiente
y Desarrollo Sostenible.
Desarrollo Sostenible. So it's the Sustainable Pro Development, Pro Sustainable Development Association, I think.
Pues en ese tiempo era, esa palabra sostenible, era cómo se come eso, qué es eso, de dónde salió eso.
Yeah, at that time, nobody was using the word sustainable, right? And so nobody knew, like, well, what is that? How do you make a living with this sustainable thing? What is this thing? And the other thing she mentioned before I forget is that they had the support also of, it just happens right here that we're what's considered a buffer zone, you know that term?
Mm-hmm.
To the national park. You know, the Arenal National Park is right up here. And so there was funding and support available to try to have development in this area be more sustainable so that it has less impact on the on the protected areas, right? Like we were talking about in the other talk.
Entonces así es como empezamos a entrar en esos temas de que podemos trabajar la tierra, pero sin destruir todos los recursos naturales que tenemos y más bien construyendo un hábitat para todos.
Yeah, so then they had to figure out what their focus was going to be within that model of sustainability, how they could make a living and still be low impact, right? Sustainable.
Así es que eso era un lavado de cerebro, ¿verdad? Cambio de mentalidad, cambio de ver las cosas, creer que sí podíamos y entender cómo nuestros antepasados pudieron tener sus graneros con las verduras, con el arroz y los frijoles sin químicos y cómo nosotros podíamos de nuevo intentar ese cambio.
So they had to go through a whole brainwashing process for themselves, right? Basically to reprogram their mind and like get rid of what they were raised, the way they were raised with in terms of, you know, agriculture and chemicals and so forth, and figure out how to do it in a sustainable way.
Y no solamente era un cambio de mente, sino nuestro corazón. Tenía que conectarse con la creación, con los recursos que tenemos, que no los podemos crear nosotros, pero no tenemos derecho de destruirlos, sino más bien construir juntamente hábitats para sobrevivir juntos.
Yeah, so besides just having a brainwash or changing their mentality, right? They needed to also, not just with their head, let's say, but with their hearts, right? Learning to figure out how to connect and, you know, be respectful of the natural world, essentially.
Así es que poco a poco también fuimos trasladando ese mensaje a nuestra familia, a nuestras familias, todos los que estábamos involucrados. Nuestros hijos estaban en la escuela y en el colegio ya, y pues ellos también fueron entrando en esa conciencia de que necesitamos juntos trabajar para tener lo que tenemos, para dejárselos a los hijos, a los nietos, a los bisnietos y tataranietos, algo construido y no destruido.
Yeah, so it wasn't just, of course, them, but their kids that were growing up now with this, right, under that mentality of trying to live in harmony, basically. And so her kids and their kids, right, the next generation.
Y pues ellos también entraron con ya el deseo de hacer algo. Y es así como en el caso de uno del segundo hijo, entró para hacer todo lo que es la caminata nocturna que hacemos, todo lo que se podía hacer en la noche con el bosque, que podíamos tener esa parte de además de regeneración, información y capacitación a personas del pueblo para que pudieran también entender que podíamos tener recursos sin destruir el bosque.
Yeah, so her kids that were now raised in this new new way of thinking, right, were motivated. They're all involved in this project, and they're the ones that come up with, you know, these new ideas of, you know, the night walk where they, you know, are educating and also educating people in the community to try to, you know, reduce the impact. And so they're all also involved. The culture has passed to the next generation.
Así que bueno, después de que decidimos quedarnos y estar con la asociación, duramos 10 años sin tocar nada de la tierra nuestra, trabajando afuera, y el bosque fue creciendo.
So there was a period of about 10 years. They had the property here, but they hadn't started this project. They were all working in different locations. So this basically just was left in regeneration.
Y pues ya hace 16 años que hicimos las primeras tres habitaciones para abrirlo para turismo.
Yeah.
Aquí.
Aquí. So 16 years ago, then they decided to take advantage of the fact that this is a touristy area and go in, get into ecotourism. And so, Las Primeras Tres. Sí. So that's when they opened or built the first three cabins, the ones that are closest by here.
También cerca de la casa teníamos algunas especies de plantas medicinales y yo empecé haciendo un tour con una compañía que venía de Nicaragua para traer franceses que querían conocer la parte natural y la parte cultural de las plantas medicinales.
So one of the things that she also did in that at that time, you know, now that they were moving into ecotourism, was also get involved in medicinal plants. And so she would include that as like one of the things that the visitors could see while they're here. That's Francesca's thing?
Sí, una compañía de Nicaragua que trae franceses.
Ah, Nicaragua. Entonces que llegaron una visita aquí.
Sí, que vinieron.
So yeah, somebody that had was doing that already in Nicaragua, and they partnered to bring them, you know what I mean, to this area as well, to get more visitors, more tourists.
So that was the association that built the three cabins, or was that just her and her family?
The association initially was the 58 families, I think. That was this whole area.
Just and then, her family built the cabins?
And then the 58, when they, you know, like divided it, then their family has this part.
Okay.
Answer your question?
Yeah, just their family.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Estaba preguntando, digamos, de la sociedad. La asociación, bueno, todavía existe, pero empezó con todos los 50 de las familias.
No, solo los 58.
Sí, exacto. Pero ahora está con cada familia, digamos.
Sí,
con
fue a sus propias
sí, cosas. Exacto. Sí. Nada más estaba aclarando. Other questions?
Así, no, espere un poquito porque no he terminado. Question when I finish.
Okay.
Me bad.
Así es que tuvimos todo un proceso de esperar y el bosque creciendo y el turismo empezó en la Fortuna Centro y en la calle principal hacia el volcán. Los que invertían en turismo era gente que estaban con sus fincas grandes y tenían capacidad económica para invertir en la infraestructura que se necesitaba.
En la calle, más
en la calle principal y en la Fortuna Centro.
Yeah, so I mean, when it became a tourist area, of course, the town itself is, of course, the center of tourism. And the road between town and the forest, or the park, sorry, where the volcano is, right, which is this way. And so the development was all along the main road, and it was mostly people that had more money that they would put, you know, they had large farms, and so basically all the development was along the main road, which is, you know, it came down.
Recuerden que nuestra área no estaba tan desarrollada. Sí, ya teníamos luz a los 8 años, ya había luz. Al año que entramos tuvimos el agua potable, pero el camino no era bueno.
¿Llegó el agua cuándo?
Al año que entramos aquí, al año.
¿El mismo año?
Sí, duramos un año y ya pusimos el agua.
Okay.
Y después a los 8 años.
¿Estamos hablando de cuál año?
Cuando entramos en 1984.
84.
Cuando entramos aquí.
Okay.
Y vamos a cumplir 40 años, pero ahora el próximo año.
I think I said 94 before. She said 84. I got that wrong. 40 years, right?
1984.
Yeah, 1984. Sorry. I heard that wrong before. So, yeah, well, after they got settled in here, within a year they got water hooked up, but still had no electricity. Yeah, so they were for the first 8 years they were here, there was no electricity.
Pero el camino no era bueno, era un camino de lastre ya, como para carros no.
Yeah, so they had water, they got water at first, but they still had no electricity, and the road was, you know, just like a dirt track. So it was hard to get in here. So all the development was on the main road, and they were off, you know.
Así es que poco a poco fuimos haciendo buen camino y ya la oportunidad para que venga turismo a nuestro pueblo.
Yeah, so they had to figure out how they could get, you know, access basically, bring tourists off the main track, out into the boonies, I guess, at the time.
Bueno, cuando construimos las tres habitaciones ya empezaron a venir clientes, pero eran solo tres habitaciones, así es que Miguel no podía venir con un grupo como ustedes.
Yes, in the beginning it was only three cabins, so it wouldn't have even been possible, for example, for me to bring a group of, you know, students here, so it was very small.
Así es que mi esposo, mi hija y yo éramos cocineras, las mucamas, la recepcionista, todo, ¿verdad?
So in the beginning, it was just them, right? They were starting from scratch. So she had, her job was, for example, cleaning the rooms and cooking, you know what I mean? They did everything themselves.
Y bueno, poco a poco fuimos construyendo más y el bosque creciendo, entonces con oportunidad para hacer la caminata nocturna y para hacer la pajareada en la mañana.
So little by little, then they, of course, grew and added new projects, and besides the they do the guided, you know, night activity, also the morning birding, you know, things like that, that are all eco-friendly, of course, really for eco-tourists.
Y el bosque fue cogiendo mis plantas, así es que mi tour se terminó
de
plantas medicinales.
So during that time, then that's when she stopped doing the medicinal plants, and they focused on other things.
Pero ahora tenemos otro terreno donde ya no quiero que el bosque coja mis plantas y estamos allí trabajándolo, que queremos que nos ayuden porque estamos con un nuevo proyecto de fomentar la crianza de las abejas mariolas.
Yeah, so in the last few years, basically there's the property, their property extends a little bit this way, and so now what they've started doing a few years back is planting again, and medicinal and variety of plants, and we're actually tomorrow's in the morning where you see it has volunteer work, we're going to be working with them on some projects.
Y es así como estamos aquí la familia administrando y trabajando, no sabemos hasta cuánto tiempo, pero aquí estamos.
Yeah. So here they're working here as best as they can, you know, as long as they can, doing their best, as long as they can.
Pero en mi caso, la experiencia que he tenido a través de los años ha sido que de no haber experimentado todo este proceso, hubiera sido como haber vivido solo en las nubes y nunca haber puesto los pies en la tierra.
So if she hadn't had this experience, it would have been like, you know, all of the experiences she's had for herself throughout this process, it would have been like living in the clouds her whole life and never having putting, you know, her feet on the ground.
Que es donde está la esencia de nuestro ser.
So, sin haber tenido esa esencia. Okay.
Sí.
Yeah. Yeah, without having, in other words, staying up in the clouds, without having, I don't know, been in touch with your essence, maybe? Is that a good way to put that?
Bueno, entonces ahora sí lo abrimos para las preguntas.
So, now she's a... Questions.
How many of the other 50 or so people or farms in that association did restoration projects like this?
Good question. De las otras familias, de las 58, ¿cuántas otras familias hicieron reforestación, un proyecto similar, parecido?
Pues parecido no, pero... las familias se quedaron, por ejemplo, doña Cristina y ellos se quedaron con las plantas. Uh-huh. Bueno, Ania y Alfonso siguen con lo de la catarata. Uh-huh. en una manera la gente cambió la mentalidad y la mayoría son conscientes de cuidar el ambiente, cuidar las aguas, cuidar el ambiente, el manejo de los desechos, la basura. En general, tenemos otra cultura a raíz de todo esto.
Cuando dice tenemos, se está hablando de...
del pueblo.
Yeah, basically when the main association was set up and then development got to a certain project and then they kind of developed their individual project. For example, another family here, they have another cabin like this a little way down the road, and so they run their own business. It's a very similar, story. And then like their mother, their mother took over made essentially on their farm. A medicinal plant project, and so like she focused just on that. So in past times, for example, we visited there. So they kind of diversified, I guess. So they've done a little different things in different each family, but they keep the same idea, right? Of recycling and there's a project for recycling and minimum impact. That's throughout this area.
Sí, hubo un cambio en la gente a nivel de pueblo de cuidar las aguas, de cuidar el bosque, de cuidar los recursos que tenemos. Aunque no tengan un proyecto en sí como este, pero sí saben que hay generación de empleo, de trabajo, que de diferentes formas, pero sí hubo un cambio de
So even people that didn't in this community don't have a specific project like this, I'm just emphasizing that they did have the whole culture change, so they have awareness of the environmental awareness as a whole. So even though they may not have a project like this, they still are doing good things. For example, one of them that I've heard of, they organized for recycling in this community and got together and got a truck, and there's a where you collect all the recyclables, collection facility up on the street, stuff like that. ¿Qué más?
Just to clarify, so this forest is about 40 years old and it's all natural regeneration. They didn't plant.
No, they did plant initially, remember when they...
Because the cacao.
Right.
Okay, but besides that, it's all kind of took off on its own.
Solo sembraron al puro inicio algunos árboles, digamos.
Pues solo cuando fue el cacao, porque la agricultura era echar el tractor, el chapulín y todo queda en pura tierra.
Pero lo que ella interesa saber es cuánto era como regeneración natural y cuánto fue sembrado. Solo unos árboles y nada más, el resto regeneración.
Sí, sembramos natural. Porque toda la propiedad tenía cacao. Durante toda la propiedad, unos cuantos árboles, no eran muchísimos, pero todo lo demás fue regenerando solo.
Yeah, just in the beginning, for the shade was the only time it reforested. The rest is all just natural regeneration. You put it down. Cool, huh? Who else? Yeah.
What were some of the first plant genomes coming back once they left the land to regenerate?
So, durante la primera etapa de regeneración, se notaron algunas de las primeras, digamos, cuáles fueron las primeras plantas en aparecer.
Bueno, primeras.
Muchas.
Primeras, vamos a ver. Lo que normalmente llamábamos monte, que era lo que había que cortar, ¿verdad? Ya lo empezamos a ver porque tal vez no he dicho que mientras estuvimos fuera, estuvimos con otro proyecto de ecoturismo y allí aprendimos muchas cosas del hábitat, por ejemplo, de las mariposas. Entonces, ya cuando veíamos ese monte, es un hábitat, es una planta hospedera de mariposas, ya no la voy a cortar, más bien la voy a reproducir. Y así con otras cosas que sabíamos que era medicinal, porque todo ese conocimiento fue perdido. Entonces, al volver a entender que todo lo que creíamos que era monte en realidad no lo era, ya se fue dejando todo lo que es natural, para los murciélagos, para los colibríes, para las mariposas, en fin, que son árboles que trajeron los chanchos de monte, no sé cómo se llamarán esos, en semillas, pero ya me disparé y no le di chance de que traduzcan.
No, creo que recuerdo la idea.
Traducir.
Basically, the mentality at the beginning was, you know, when whatever's growing, starts growing, right? It's kind of like weeds, right? So, I mean, the general idea, when you're coming from that kind of agricultural mentality, it's like you don't want weeds, so you just, whatever shows up, you just cut it, right? That's kind of the mentality. So, little by little, they figured out that certain plants have, what do you call it? Like a particular role to play. Like, for example, then, well, they figured out, okay, well, no, that don't cut that one, that's the one that the butterflies like, for example, right? Or and so they actually left it, so they had to kind of change. I don't know if you didn't mention a specific to plant, if that's what you're asking about, but
son muchas muchas plantas como que la tierra las tenía escondidas. Y al dejar solo, ya sin hacer nada, brotaron.
Yeah, the earth basically had plants, you know, hidden in the soil. And so once they just let it generate, they just kind of came up on their own. Mm-hmm. Plus, of course, seed dispersal from animals and birds and all that.
Just about the road. Did the locals like lobby the government or do anything to try and get this road paved to come out here? Is that something that people
they
do?
They did. That's what they did.
They did.
Está preguntando, digamos, cómo fue el proceso para llegar a tener asfaltada el camino.
Bueno, hace como 5 años que lo asfaltaron.
Sí, es cierto.
Sí, porque solo era, nosotros echábamos material como lastre, pero ya hace como 5 años que lo pavimentaron.
Pero el proceso para motivar, ¿no fue un, como por la ayuda
un
de
movimiento,
la asociación?
Sí, es que la Asociación de Desarrollo de la Fortuna tiene interés porque ellos tienen la catarata, ellos son administradores de la catarata. Entonces ellos gestionaron para que las dos vías de entrada a la catarata tuvieran buen acceso.
Pero no fue también por el impacto del
turismo.
Apresuraron, digamos, la asociación apresuró.
No, la asociación de nosotros, la Desarrollo Sostenible, lo que sí construyó fue el puente que está en el río Habana.
Ajá.
Porque estábamos incomunicados, aquella otra parte de esta. Con el puente ya hubo acceso a que los dos nos comunicáramos, pero con una calle siempre mala. De hecho, la cuesta esa era terrible.
Sí, yo recuerdo.
Sí, pero hace más o menos 5 años, como un empuje para el turismo, para que hubieran dos vías, entonces se asfaltó las dos partes,
pero
primero el otro lado y después este.
¿Pero el empuje venía desde?
De la Asociación de Desarrollo de la Fortuna, que es diferente.
Okay. Diferente.
Sí, porque ella es la que tiene la administración de la catarata.
Ah, entonces, el primero el puente.
Nosotros,
sí. Yeah, so there's two parts to it. One is there's a river right down here, like another kilometer or something down the road, and that was the end of the road for all this time. Remember when he said it was the old school, there was no access this way?
Mm-hmm.
So their association motivated to get a bridge built. It used to be pretty bad, I remember. So that you could cross over the river, and that way there's access to the other side, right? Which has some tourist attractions over there. So they motivated for that, and then as part of that, because there's tourist attraction on the other side, they wanted to be able to use this as an access point. And so another tourist association in town basically push to get this paved. That's how this road, and that's only been 5 years that it's been paved.
What's her favorite animal she's seen on the property?
Buena pregunta. ¿Cuál es tu animal favorito que has visto aquí en este terreno?
Ay, todos son favoritos. Cada año, cuando venía un pájaro nuevo, era nuestro trofeo, ¿verdad? Porque algo estaba pasando en el ambiente que quería venir. Y lo mismo con cada una de los monos. Y, por ejemplo, los monos solo estaban allá a la orilla del río. Hay un río al fondo de la propiedad. Ellos solo estaban ahí. Pero ahora verlos con sus bebés ahí al frente de la recepción, eso es nuestro trofeo, ¿verdad? Porque ellos ya encontraron un hábitat. Un día de estos pasó un perezoso del otro lado, aquí, y todos los carros estaban ahí parados para verlos pasar la calle y subir al árbol y todo. Entonces, esos son nuestros favoritos, todos.
Sí. The simple answer is they're all her favorites. But the more in-depth answer is, in the beginning, like when the birds would come, right? Like each new species, like look what, you know, because it's as regeneration, more species would come in. And she mentioned monkeys, for example. There's a river or like a stream at the end of the property, and the monkeys, the howlers, used to only be down there. And then slowly but surely they're coming this way. I don't know if you saw them, you heard them at least. Yeah. And she said, now, you know, for her to see a monkey with a baby right here over the reception area, right? That's their trophies, right? These are the trophies. And she also said, recently there was a sloth that crossed from the other side of the road over to coming this way. So now a sloth came in, you know, and that's the latest trophy.
Para mí no, pero para mis hijos, las serpientes que tienen que ver en la caminata nocturna y que mucha gente viene para verlos, para ellos son favoritas cuando encuentran una especie ahí muy, ay, necesitamos tenerla, ¿verdad?, para la noche. Para mí no, pero para ellos sí.
Sí. So, for her kids that do the like night activities and such, snakes. They love snakes, right? They're all into it. She's not motivated.
Las ranas también. Las ranas, porque dentro del tour está todo lo de las ranas. Entonces, la familia tiene diferentes favoritos.
Yeah. Each member of the family has their favorites.
Yeah.
Right? The frogs, of course, as you. Some of you saw already. ¿Qué más?
What motivates her to keep going, to keep this place beautiful and active?
¿Cómo se motiva para seguir adelante, básicamente, con ese proyecto?
Bueno, ahora con las abejas, ¿verdad? Estoy sembrando de todo lo que es el jardín. Personalmente me encanta sembrar las plantas, hablarles, darles la bendición. Declararlas que se levantan fuertes, que van a dar gloria en ellos, van a prosperar. Pero estoy muy motivada con el nuevo proyecto de las abejas. Las mariolas son unas abejas muy, muy, muy sencillas, muy pacíficas, muy dóciles. Creo que se parecen a mí.
Son
pequeñitas, pero la miel que producen es muy buena para los ojos. Es una medicina para los ojos.
Las
más pequeñitas, canelitas.
Canelitas.
Son con las cafecitas, un cafecito muy, muy particular.
So the thing that she's most passionate about, I think, is planting, right? Talking to and planting the trees and or whatever it is, planting, right, in general. And so now that they have that project and this new project, es por empezar esa idea de las abejas.
Sí.
No, es que
estamos empezando, sí.
Va a ser, mañana empezamos un proyecto nuevo.
El proyecto empezó por la siembra de las plantas, ¿verdad? Dejar lo que hay.
Ah.
Pero mañana ya es exactamente damos el banderazo para traerlas, sí.
So So what we're going to actually do is help her with the next step of that, which is the bee. I mentioned that, right? The bee project. Did anybody mention that?
No, Mario.
I remember we were doing like some sort of like frustration activity.
Explico de más cómo es el proyecto para mañana. So basically, yeah, as an extension, now that they have the a few years of the plantings over there, they want to get basically, what do you call it? Bee. You know where you set up the colonies? Yeah, what's the term? Bee pods? Yeah, I don't remember the name. Anyway, when... Yeah, I'm thinking of the facility. But anyway, yeah, so start that. So they want to start it now. And that's actually for tomorrow's volunteer work that we have on schedule. Because we just offer, the way this works, we offer our help, right? Because we want to support. We're supporting them economically by being here. We're support by sharing, you know, shared stories and so forth, right? Like, show, you know, that we're in many ways supporting them, but also with the project. So in this particular, their project, like, I just found out right now what they wanted us to do, help out. And so they want to get this started. So in order to get it started, they want to, we're going to start by helping them make bee catchers, like traps, right? And we're going to use recycled bottles, she says, to make traps to catch bees. And then we're going to put them all around. So you get to make one each of you tomorrow. And then we're going to hang them all around. And then they catch the bees, and then they'll put them in a, you know what I mean? Make beehives. And so it'll help with pollination here. And also, she said the honey is very good. It's good para los ojos. Yeah, she said it's very good. It's very good, that species of bee. It's not the one you're used to seeing. It's a very small, you've probably seen them flying around. I think it's the dark one. It's kind of small. They're very passive. And so she relates to those bees because they're very passive, you know. And so that's her personality, right? So she's saying that she relates to them. And the honey is good as a medicine for your sight, for vision.
Se come también esa miel, ¿verdad? Es deliciosa, pero está comprobado para ayudar a las cataratas y a otros tipos de problemas en los ojos.
Well, yeah, she said it's proven that the honey has medicinal properties that helps with like cataracts and problems with eye problems.
Y es un animalito muy que no va a picar ni nada de eso.
Yeah, it's a mellow bee. You don't have to worry about them biting or anything. They don't bite. They're very passive. What else? It's pretty cool to be able to have, you know, somebody like her do the talk because she has the whole history, right? She can give you like how this started. Because otherwise you come here as a tourist and it's like, oh, that's cool. It's, you know, it's very cool. It's what's here. But like, they don't hear what, you know, what it took for them to get here. And imagine, you know, here getting your first visitors and you don't even speak the language and there's no phone and there's no, you know, road, you know.
No electricity.
Exactly, no electricity, you know. So at one of the places she said, yeah, the way they used to get messages when they started getting their first visitors is there was a payphone out on the main road and, you know, somebody would have to take a message, like if somebody wanted to call and make a reservation, no internet. Imagine, we're not just talking no road, no electricity, no internet, no web pages, none of that stuff, right, in the very beginning. And so somebody would go, you know, what, like walking 3 kilometers down the road and, you know, get a message from the payphone. You know, I mean, that's how it started.
I just wanted to say it's remarkable what her and her family have done here, and it's such a beautiful place, and I really appreciate them letting us come and stay and experience this.
Hay que agradecer a ustedes, y es muy, como, tiene mucha apreciación del proyecto, y que han hecho ustedes, y agradece la oportunidad de venir y quedarse aquí y conocer.
Sí, muchas gracias, muchas gracias. En realidad que ustedes son parte de lo que nos dicen, sí se puede, y nos dan fuerzas y energía para seguir creyendo que aunque importan los años, podemos seguir soñando. Sí, y es porque ustedes vienen, porque si no vinieran, pues no tendríamos incentivo, ¿verdad? Pero qué bueno que es así.
Yeah, so you are part of, you know, also part of the solution, I guess, would be a simple way to say it. There's the expression in Spanish is si se puede, like, yes, you can, like, you can do it, right? And so the idea is you're part of that vision, of this vision, right? Of this idea that we're all trying to say, yes, we can, you know, make the world more sustainable, improve things and so forth. And if it wasn't for you all being here, then, you know, they wouldn't be here. And so, I mean, it's like it's an incentive, motivation, you know what I mean, for them also. Like when you come, that's what I meant about like the shared experience. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Así es que de mi parte, gracias. Y les digo que deseo vivir 200 años más para ver todo lo que hay, ¿verdad? Que posiblemente hay árboles que no van a florear tan pronto y esas flores son preciosas, yo quisiera verlas, ¿verdad? Pero quedarán para segunda y tercera generación. Así es que esa es nuestra motivación, que aunque no veamos ahora, lo verán otros, el trabajo que se viene haciendo. Y pues, mientras tenga vida, ahí estoy yo, con él ya nos conocemos hace 22 años. Ya está aburrido de oír mi historia.
No, creo. No, para nada, nunca. Nunca, me motiva a mí también.
Pero siempre estamos con motivación y eso creo que lo recibimos de los visitantes, de la naturaleza que es tan generosa, de saber que estamos en lo correcto, vivimos en esa armonía. Entonces, esa es la invitación. En algún momento de sus vidas les va a tocar ya no ser estudiantes, va a tomar tiempo para tomar determinación. Y todo lo que sea aliado a la creación, a la naturaleza, eso nos va a hacer parte de llenar nuestro ser interior.
Yeah, so starting out with, she said she would like to live 200 years so that she could see, you know, the rest, continue to see this process, right, go on. But, you know, if not, then second generation, third generation will see it. So, you know, she's conscious of the fact that, you know, her kids and grandkids will be part of this and see that. So maybe there's some new tree that's going to, put out a flower that they haven't seen yet. And so she may not see it, but, you know, the next generation will. And she also said that at some point you won't be students anymore and you'll have a chance to, you know, go out and, you know, do something similar. So forget where she went with that. Yes, I remember now. She thinks maybe I'm bored at hearing this presentation because I've been banging groups around here for like 22 years. That's when we met each other. It's actually funny because 1996 was I stumbled upon this community. You know, before you know, it was all high tech and there were like groups that promoted more ecotourism and, you know, all of that before web internet, all that stuff. I just stumbled upon it because I don't go stay in, you know, the main town wherever I go when I'm traveling. I always go off the beaten track, right? And so I stumbled upon this project and, you know, obviously have supported, brought students and, right, ever since. Nunca aburro de escuchar. Al contrario, espero que tengamos 100 años más de hacer charlas de esas.
Sí. Bueno, muchísimas gracias. No los voy a aburrir más. Gracias por su atención. Espero que disfruten su viaje en Costa Rica y que al salir digan, de verdad estuvimos pura vida.
We'll see her again tomorrow. She's obviously just saying thanks and enjoy the rest of your visit, and you know the last part. But she'll be helping us or guiding us really tomorrow when you do our volunteer work too. But she's around and we'll see her. But
gracias, muchas gracias.